Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper P. Quinnell and I'm joined, as always, by my intangible co-host, Tempest the Wrestler.
Tempest the newly masked wrestler.
The newly masked wrestler. That's damn right. Yeah, you guys who are YouTube members, you get to watch the video versions of these bits that normally just go on the audio-only podcast intro and outro, which means that Tempest, who always wears his masks for these things, is now wearing his new mask for this one. Very nice, mate. And your nose isn't crushed anymore.
I know. It's so crazy what happens when someone who actually knows what they're doing makes this mask.
Wild.
Oh, it really is just a dream come true. Like, I can see, my nose doesn't hurt. Like, I put this mask on and it feels right. Like, it feels like a mask should. Because I don't know, like, the last mask that I was wearing, the points of tension in the mask to make it tight were, like, the absolute front of my nose and then the back of my head.
Yeah.
Which is why I just absolutely crushed my nose every time I wore it. But that's not the case here. Like, here it does feel tight around the crown of the head, which is where it's supposed to feel tight. So, yeah, it's a big improvement. I'm very happy with it.
I can wear this thing all day. Fancy new colors as well.
Yeah. Now I look the same as the YouTube profile picture that I have. That lovely friend of mine made like a year ago that I just kind of saved and then used for something.
Nice. Very good, mate. We've got some emails to get through. Also, I realized, by the way, for people who regularly listen to the NXT podcast bits, I normally screen share and show you pictures that people have sent in. I can't do that anymore because it's the video version and I'd be showing the people's names and their email addresses and stuff, and I can't do that for reasons, because it's going out to a public place, even though it's only to the YouTube members. I can't do that anymore, and I've got dog pictures that people have sent in, and now I can't screen share and show you. I'm really upset about it.
I thought you were gonna open this by being like, and now you all can see the pictures too.
No. I'll have to figure out a way. Maybe I can pre-download all the pictures so then I can just show the pictures. But currently, didn't think about this in advance, so I haven't done that. But maybe in time for the next one, I can do that. Maybe, potentially. Anyway, let's talk about this NXT episode, and we'll get into the emails in the outro portion, which, for the YouTube members, is in about a minute. Firstly, let's talk about this whole Samoa Joe thing. You know that Joe guy? Hey, he's back at NXT. It was really cool. Let's talk about it. Yeah, good episode of NXT that started off good and maintained its goodness, which kicked off with the talking point of the show. I've done the thing again, Tempest. You know what I've done? Where I've had the the YouTube episode open on another tab, and then we've gone live, and it's playing back audio to me, and I can't find the tab. I got it open. It started off, God, this is going to be a good episode. It started off with William Regal, who obviously who obviously ended the episode of NXT TakeOver In Your House by him saying, you know, oh, I've never seen such bedlam, it's time for a change and all that jazz, and was crying and doing all sorts of stuff to end the episode. And everyone was saying, please don't let Regal leave, he's the best. So he opened this episode of NXT, smart choice, I think. And he came out and cut a really good promo, kind of feigning being emotional, but he's really good at it because he made you buy it really, really strongly. Because he was saying, you know, he seemed legitimately emotional about being like, you know, it's been 7 years, I've been in NXT, I've seen it become nothing into a global phenomenon, and you know, I've tried to do the best for you, the fans, and you know, it's been all the highs and the lows, and blah blah blah, blah. Seemed really like legit. I don't know if he can cry on command or he had some sort of pre-done like tear streaks or something, but man, that's a really added nice little detail on it. And then, just as Regal was teasing he was going to step down as general manager, out comes Karrion Kross, and something that you and I have mentioned quite a lot, something that would benefit Kross immensely, is going full heel with the character he has. And this was Kross going full heel. Him just saying that Regal was pathetic, and, you know, Kross is always right, and Kross conquers all, and he wants to hear Regal say it. He came out to watch Regal say it to his face, that he was going to step down, that Kross was right. This is Kross's NXT, not Regal's. And just as Regal's going to say something else, Samoa Joe's music hits. I got so excited. We knew this was potentially coming with reports and things of that nature, and I was like, he's going to get interrupted, right? It's going to be Joe that interrupts. Is it going to be Joe? And then his music hits, and I popped. I slammed my hands together. I was like, yes! I started chanting along with the crowd to be like, Joe. God, I've missed Joe. He's so cool. He comes out, and he says, Regal, you wanted to talk to me. And Regal was saying, well, yeah, I did want to talk to you later, but I guess you're here now. I would be honored if you would take the general manager role. I can't fulfill the needs that I need to in my position, so I want you to take this from me. And Joe just says, no. And everyone was like, wait, what? And he said, I can't fill your shoes. You're the person that NXT needs. You've taken it from nothing to a global phenomenon. And I like that they kind of blurred the lines between kayfabe and not here, because Regal was the one that got all the worldwide talent. And it's like, well, he didn't. It was Triple H. But, you know, whatever. Kayfabe. Makes sense. He's saying that he's happy to enforce the roster and make sure that Regal gets the respect that he deserves now. As he's saying that, he's kind of looking directly at Karrion Kross in the ring, which was lovely. And then Regal says, oh, that's an interesting offer. Couple things. You can't be a competitor, and you can't lay hands on any member of the roster. And the crowd went, oh, no. And then Regal just turned to Kross and just went, unless provoked. And everyone went, oh. it was proper like roller coaster TV for it. It was great. And then Joe says, yeah, I accept your offer. And then said, it just leaves one more question. Walks right up to Kross, straight in his face, said, what the hell are you still doing in this ring? And I was like, God, I have missed Joe so much. This Joe in particular, I've missed so much. Just, I'm not going to say that Joe's one of the best promos ever or anything. I'm not going to use that kind of hyperbole, but I don't think there's anyone that quite has the presence that Joe has. He doesn't need to say a well-crafted line. He can take something that's very mediocre and make it sound like $1 million. Just like the gravel he can put in his voice when he does it, his sheer presence, the way he stares down people, like his sheer physicality and body language when he cuts a promo is second to none. It's so good. This role for Joe, I think, is going to be absolutely phenomenal.
So, I mean, I have a lot of thoughts when it comes to this promo segment. I thought this was probably the best promo segment NXT has had this year. Just something about such real emotion coming through on a wrestling show is so refreshing. Oh, man. Even if this was totally just William Regal acting his way through this, like, even if he just does that, that's very impressive to be able to do such a performance. But I truly think like he went out there and got to gush about NXT a little bit, something that he's spent like the last 10 years of his life working on. I would be emotional. That's awesome. I don't know if I got flack necessarily, but I definitely got a little bit of discussion going after saying that Karrion Kross needed to turn heel. Some people were like, oh, I thought he was already a heel. And blah, blah. I never really saw it that way. I saw him as more of a tweener who was just, you know, aggressive. Like, he never really, like, cheated, never really did anything dastardly, never took the easy way out, nothing like that. He was just kind of like, ah, he was a big monster. But now he feels like a total 100% pure heel. And I think it's going to help his run out so much more. That being said, now we've got Samoa Joe in this role. Samoa Joe is, like, fantastic at doing WWE promos. And not everyone is, but there are a few guys who can just pull off their verbiage perfectly. He's one of them. And I'm so happy that we get to see him in a role where he gets to utilize that strength again, because for so long, like, he just was either doing commentary, which he was also very good at, or he just wasn't on the show. Going forward, and just like a quick clarification type thing, it was just said that Triple H signed all of the talent as well. Like, you know, Regal's been working as a scout too. So, like, I would absolutely expect him to be a large part of that process. We'll get into more as we get into the segments that come on this show. I like the no, you can't touch anybody unless provoked thing. I like that angle. In the context of this segment, I think they could have done a better job highlighting that throughout the show. But for one segment to open the show, oh my God, this was like a perfect segment. This was a perfect 15-minute segment, and we have gone on and on about how this show opens with a match every week, and that's awesome, and we don't like opening shows with promo segments. This felt like a perfectly acceptable exception to that rule, because this was by far like the most important thing on the show, coming into the show, and it delivered, and that's all you can ask for.
100%, 100%, I'm with you. And I think it was a very smart choice to lead with that because it was such a cliffhanger from In Your House. I think it was perfectly okay to lead with a promo for this episode in particular. If you got something that's going to be the biggest talking point on the show, absolutely lead with it at the start of the show. And then we had a couple segments later on. This one came after the opening match. We cut backstage, and there's more fighting in NXT, as we've seen for ages, for weeks now and months. We see Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole brawling backstage, security trying to pull them apart, same kind of brawling we've seen for ages. This time, though, there's a Joe on hand, because William Regal comes in and says, oh, you two are too, you guys are too too aggressive. You need to let off some steam. You can choose your opponents for matches next week, and the two of you will be facing each other at the Great American Bash on July, whenever it is, 9th.
6th.
6th. Yeah, that one. Which is fine. We'll talk more about that specific thing later, because we'll talk about Joe for now. But those two start brawling again, and security can't keep them apart. Joe comes in, kind of pulls them apart, gets them sorted. Adam Cole shoves Joe aside to get to O'Reilly again, and Joe just looks around, takes off the jacket, just gets Adam Cole in the coquina clutch. And I just love Joe. I just started popping. I was like, coquina clutch, I love Joe. I love Joe. This is great. He's so cool. And then he kind of screamed at the security. When he wakes up, let him know that Regal needs an answer, and like walks off. I was like, that's so cool. That's so cool. I just love Joe in this role. Just him being, because he's so believable as the guy that no one wants to cross. The guy that will just beat you up and just be like, no, you can't talk to me the same way you've been talking to Regal, because I will just kill you. And he's totally believable in that role. Love this. Love this.
Yeah, this to me was a segment where I wish that, I don't know how they would have done it, because obviously you needed this segment in order to get to the Kyle O'Reilly Kushida stuff later in the show. Mm-hmm. So if you moved this to the end of the show, I don't think that necessarily would have worked. But I mean, if you're in charge, you can rewrite the show into a different way of getting to different things. I thought they could have done a better job building up to Samoa Joe getting physical again, because it was, you're not allowed to put your hands on people unless provoked. And I get it that that's like the old Steve Austin, Chris Jericho dynamic where all they're, you can't touch me, haha, I'm in your face, blah, blah, blah. And then eventually he finally pats Austin on the back and then Austin gives him a stunner. I get that's what they're going for here, that Joe can't do anything unless someone touches him first. But to do it in the next segment, like 5 minutes after establishing the rule, I thought it could have used a little bit more buildup. In execution, I thought it was fine. Like seeing him choke out Adam Cole and everything, I thought was very good. I just think that they should have maybe built up through the show to get to the point where he like, oh, okay, you're going to test me and then choke someone out. But that's more of just like a storytelling progression of plot kind of thing as opposed to this actual angle.
I quite liked, personally, that Joe was effectual from the off. Of him just being like, Samoa Joe is here and you cannot mess with him. Here's an example right away. Look, NXT's different. Here you go, kind of thing. I quite like the Samoa Joe is here and he don't mess around. Here's an example of what he's going to be doing from week to week. I didn't have an issue with it personally. I totally get your point, but I personally did not have an issue with them doing it straight away. I think it worked to show Joe's effectiveness immediately.
Yes, I agree with that. I just think that for the first segment, I think they could have like they could have built to him getting physical, where maybe you don't have O'Reilly and Cole in that first brawl that he needs to get physical. Like, I think he could have stepped in the middle and be like, enough of this. And everyone goes, oh, okay. I don't want to piss off Samoa Joe, to show that he can be that enforcer without getting physical first. Because that is, at least in theory, supposed to be his role. He's supposed to do this without getting physical. I would have liked to have seen that first and then eventually seen this like on the same show. Again, I think you could have just swapped a bunch of things around and made it still work. But again, this is like a very small criticism.
Yeah. We had a couple other backstage things later. One of them was hilariously completely botched. When Regal, he goes out and Mackenzie Mitchell is there. Say, Mr. Regal, what do you think of Joe's first night back on NXT? They go through the fire exit, much like they did it in your house, go through the fire exit out into the parking lot. And cut to MSK eating popcorn. What? Where's the rest of the segment, guys? It's just as Regal literally just went, Mackenzie, and then it just cuts off and goes straight over to MSK eating popcorn. And then you have the entrance for the main event, which was Ciampa and Thatcher. They made their entrance, goes to an ad break, comes back. Mackenzie gets another word with Regal, and Johnny Gargano comes in and has a little funny back and forth with Joe, basically saying that Joe's a badass and it's really cool that he's here and all that stuff. And Joe just tells him to get out of his face and all that stuff, which is very cool. Pete Dunne comes in, stares down Joe. Then they have the main event match, and then you have Joe and Regal again in the parking lot at the end, with Joe saying, one night of many, and Regal gets in a car and then drives away. It was like, wait, what? What is going on with this ordering, guys? Total botch. I loved it. But you know, they recovered well. It was fine.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I went through like television production school. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's what I did for my degree, was sports production. Oof, this was rough.
Rough, right?
If you're someone who like really cares about the technical aspect of like television and all that sort of thing, it's like, man, this was not a good night for WWE's production team. And like, none of these segments mattered at all anyway. Like, they really needed to get to that last shot of Joe and Regal saying like, it's the first day of many. But, like, I don't know. I guess because they messed it up earlier, and now it was like, oh, well, I wonder what that segment was going to be. Oh, it was nothing? That seems a little bit odd. But I don't know. This popped me just because I was like, nah, look at them, this billion-dollar company making mistakes on their show. It's funny.
I laughed a lot. It was very, very funny. But overall, though, for Joe's interactions on the show, Yes. More of it. Yes, please. Yes. I love Joe. I don't know if I've mentioned it. I love Joe. I love Samoa Joe so much. Anytime he talks, I listen. Anytime he moves, I am watching avidly. He's just great. Such a good presence. And I think he's going to absolutely kill it, literally and metaphorically. It's not the word I'm looking for, but that's fine.
Figuratively
in this enforcer role. I think he's going to do great.
I will say, just before we move on, this is the perfect outcome for me for this storyline, because I was worried that we were just going to lose Regal in all of this, and I was going to be so sad because William Regal is just like an awesome, perfect general manager. And to see Samoa Joe step in as not his replacement, but his enforcer, that's exactly what I wanted. Like, exactly what I would have asked for. So I'm very happy to see him in this role.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, lost Regal, gained a Joe. Didn't lose Regal, but gained a Joe. Yay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's see what you guys thought in your Ultra Chats. Make sure to get those in. WrestleTalk.com/support to get in your Ultra Chats here. Make sure to get those in. Link is on the screen right now. We'll go through some of them real quick. 2 seconds. Just getting the thingies up. I was just checking a thing. Hannah Allen comes in to say, Samoa Joe for president. Dude is a 3D printer for gold. Yes, he is. Gentlemen, I support you because I love you so much. Stay strong, Swath Nation. We can be positive and grateful for these lovely humans. Thank you. Stay awesome. Hashtag spread the love. Hashtag positivity. Hashtag LAW for life. Thank you very much, Hannah. Appreciate it. And yes, Samoa Joe is a... He is a 3D printer for gold. Yes, I love that. Charles Berg says, although Rempus the Tesla is 100% wrong about Cena not being a top 5 promo, don't get Tempest started. Don't do it. Don't do it. My respect for him has grown immensely. I honestly thought I was the only human being who said Samosif Joseph. I've been calling him that for 12 years. I like Enforcer Joe. It fits.
I've got a lot of variations on Samosa Joseph and Joey Samoe, etc.
Yeah. Alan Monson says, hey, LIW, with Samoa Joe returning to NXT as an enforcer, how involved do you think he'll be on a weekly basis? Also, I know he's not back on NXT to wrestle, but are there any dream opponents or matches you would want to see Joe in? Thanks, guys. Hashtag LIW for life. I think he's probably going to be there most weeks, you know, as much as Regal's been involved, which is quite a lot, especially lately. Yeah, I think he's going to be around, especially because it's new. They want to build up this enforcer storyline a little bit to whatever it's going to lead to. Might not lead to anything. Might just be a whole new position for Joe, and he's just going to be there kind of thing. Yeah, I think it'll be pretty regular, I'd assume. Dream matches for NXT, I don't think he's going to have any. I don't want to get my own hopes up thinking about them, because for me, the reason they've kind of done this to me is that they probably can't get him cleared due to his history with concussions and things like that. So I think if they could have him back as a wrestler, they would have had him back as a wrestler. So I don't want to get my own hopes up by talking about dream matches personally, because then I'll get very sad.
Well, I'll make you sad. Walter.
No. Don't. Tempest, why would you say that?
I was thinking it. I was thinking it.
Sad. Now I'm sad. Oh, I want Samoa Joe versus Walter. The Intangible and Ryan B. Bad says that now that Joe is back, if Aleister Black also comes back, I'd love to see him come back to NXT to enter into program with Walter, because Black feels like he could legitimately take the NXT UK title from him. He could. I agree. Yeah. Also, I will say, in the segment between Joe and Cross, I was like, well, I could really see Joe taking the title off Cross. So I was like, no, he's not here to wrestle. He's not here to wrestle. But God, I want to see Joe take the title off him.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not super sold on just like, well, let's just have everyone come back and put them on NXT. Because I've never been the biggest fan of people coming back to NXT just in general. I think Samoa Joe, it works because he's in a different role and he's not going to be wrestling. But if it's just, yeah, Aleister Black, let's sign him back and put him on NXT, I think I'll get just kind of burnt out of the show because it's something that I've already seen, kind of like I did with Finn Balor. And Finn Balor's reign was good, but I just felt like I'd seen it already.
Yeah, I think it's just from a more selfish perspective that people are just like, I want to see Aleister Black wrestle good matches. He does good matches on NXT. Put him on NXT, which I totally understand.
Yeah, for sure.
Matty J316 says, to be fair, Regal is responsible for a lot of the recruiting, so Joe was technically correct. The best kind of correct. You're quite right, yes. Keith Below says, my favorite part is when Joe came out, the old S word look on Karrion's face. It just emphasizes the fact that the mythical stature of Joe can carry his character without him to fight every other week. Whenever he gets back in the ring, it will be well earned. Yeah, I don't know if he is going to get back in the ring with his history of concussions and stuff, but even if he doesn't, I think this role is going to be really good for him. Let's get into talking about the rest of the show, which obviously, as we have mentioned, started off with this whole Samoa Joe return segment. We then got a Grizzled Young Veterans promo ahead of their main event match later, which is the Tornado tag match, of them saying that Ciampa and Thatcher are going to get their heads kicked in. Nice. Good stuff. Then a little opening tag match between Imperium and Breezango. And I will say that just off the back of the Samoa Joe return, one, the crowd, I think, was much more lively on this show than they were at TakeOver, for starters. And also, the show just felt like it had so much more energy. Like, top to bottom, this felt like an NXT episode of old. This felt like a proper, high-caliber show from top to bottom, and it didn't feel like they were spinning their wheels. This felt like a really high-energy, good-quality show. And I think even this match, Imperium versus Breezango, they did this match a couple weeks ago, I probably would have been like, eh, you know, whatever. And this one, it's up a little bit. It's still not, you know, amazing. But I was like, this is a fun match. This was good.
Yeah.
I didn't think the right people won. But, you know, it was good. The actual in-ring action, I thought, was very good. It all built to a Tyler Breeze hot tag. Breeze came in, got immediately shut down by Fabian Aichner. But then Breeze rolled up Aichner anyway to get the win. And then immediately they got beaten up by Imperium afterwards. Imperium, like, laid the Imperium flag over them. Like, just tucked him up in a little Imperium blanket. Like, I don't know where I was, but yeah, sure. And then they stood tall. It's like, why not just have Imperium win then?
Exactly. Like, I am certain that next week Walter will be on FaceTime again and be like, I will not accept such incompetence. Except he'll say it in German and Dan will send it to me to read on air again. But yeah. Come on, man. Just let the people that you're pushing win some matches. Like, well, it was said later in the show that, like, you have to earn opportunities in NXT. And I was like, where? Show me where. Where does this happen? Because the only people that get title shots around here are people who lose. Oh, goodness me. Because, like, I just don't understand this decision. You know? Like, you're trying to protect Breezango? Why? Why are you trying to protect them over Imperium, who you're trying to push? Just have the people that you're pushing win some matches, please. I'm begging you.
Yeah, 100%. We then got Joe backstage being a badass against Cole. Loved that. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about this in a bit more detail now because Regal announced it was going to be O'Reilly versus Cole at Great American Bash in a straight up singles match, and he said that, you know, I thought an unsanctioned match would have been enough for you, but clearly it's not. So you're going to have a singles match at Great American Bash. What?
Oh man. Again, like I don't have a whole lot of criticism about this NXT episode. Like, I thought this was a very good show. Oh, yeah. I'm very tired of the WWE trope of here's the blow-off match in the first match. Oh, we're gonna keep this storyline going. Here's a singles match. They do this so often, and I'm quite tired of it. Like, they did it with Gargano and Cole. When they wrestled, where it's like, here's the big 2 out of 3 falls match, and now we're having the rematch and it's a singles. Like, they do this all the time and it's so backwards. At least give them a different stipulation. Like, have it be a last man standing match or an I quit match. An I quit match would be a lot of fun with these two.
It's weird. I just wouldn't have had them fight again. Personally,
It's done. The baby face won. Why are they still fighting?
I don't know whether they're trying to get into the kind of Gargano Ciampa, we're destined to fight forever, Steen Generico type thing for these two. I'm not as into it as I thought I would be, honestly. I'm sure it'd be a great match.
Yeah. I think they just need like a big match for the Great American Bash. If they go out of the Great American Bash with a finish and then have another match on top of that, then they've completely lost me. But if they're just trying to fill out the card for a TV special, like, I kind of get it.
Yeah.
But enough of this, guys. Come on. Like, end the rivalries when they're over. Don't just keep them going for the sake of keeping them going.
Yeah, totally. We then got Santos Escobar cut a promo. I thought this was quite good. And actually kind of sort of made sense. It's a heel promo. He's allowed to kind of, you know, because he didn't win at TakeOver. He's allowed to be a bit salty about it and try and make excuses, which makes a lot of sense. Him saying, you know, he wants Bronson Reed in a one-on-one match because he lost in a 6-man tag match. But if he had him one-on-one, then he'd win. Which I think, makes a lot of sense for Santos Escobar. But it was a well-delivered promo. And I'm actually probably looking forward to that match. I think it's probably going to be quite good.
Yeah, I think it'll be a really good match.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. I really like Santos Escobar. Really like Legado del Fantasma. They're very cool.
He is a guy who's absolutely elevated himself.
Yes.
And it's very inspiring to see because honestly, and I'm as big a fan of international wrestling as you're going to find, especially like on this channel. Like, I watch everything when I can. I didn't really care too much about El Hijo del Fantasma coming in when he was in the Cruiserweight Championship tournament thing they did last year. But man, he's just been so good over the last year that I'm now happy to see him do anything.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, 100%. Speaking of things that were very good, we then got Kushida's Cruiserweight Open Challenge that was answered by the debuting Trey Baxter, who was formerly known as the most probably wrestler name I've ever heard, Blake Christian on the on the indies, which is just, the wrestler name, if you're just going to make one off the top of your head. He got another little video promo, much like we saw for a couple of other Kushida's challenges lately. Again, love these, just to say, here's who I am, here's why I'm here, I'm going to fight, I want to win. Cool. We get to know who you are. We get to see a little bit of their promo style with something to get invested in. Great. Love it. I thought this match was also very fun. Really cool little debut match for Trey Baxter. Had a lot of offense back and forth. Got a couple near falls off there. There's a really cool near fall off a standing Spanish fly into a springboard 450 from Trey Baxter, which was very cool. And then he managed to, Kushida managed to get in the hoverboard lock and pick up the win after Kyle O'Reilly came out to watch from ringside. Very fun match. Really enjoyed it. And then Kyle O'Reilly says he's going to face Kushida next week. Yes. Yes, please.
New Japan.
Totally
New Japan. Yeah, I really like this match. And I'll be honest, I love the presentation of Kushida's open challenge. This, to me, it is so reminiscent of last year's TNT open challenge that Cody had, where these guys aren't independent guys. Like, they're not without contracts, but because we haven't seen them before, we're still getting that same sort of like, here's an indie guy coming in and getting his shot in NXT. Mm-hmm. And who knows, maybe eventually one of them will win. I love this presentation because once again, it's playing to Kushida's strengths. He's always been a wrestler over a character or a performer. So he's just going out and having really good matches against guys that they give you a little bit to get you invested in them. And then they go out and for the most part, they're likable. And I love this. And they have good matches. I can't wait to see these guys again too. Like Carmelo Hayes a few weeks ago was really good. I thought Trey Baxter was really good. I think Trey Baxter might end up as a heel. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
Something about him had a little bit of a heelish quality. But
yeah, I could totally see that.
If they keep doing this for like a long reign from Kushida, I think this will be like an excellent way to follow up Santos Escobar's great run as Cruiserweight champion.
Yeah, 100%. We'll say, there was a little bit of a botch in this match where Kushida couldn't get over the top rope. Like, they kept trying to clothesline Kushida over the top rope, and he couldn't get over after like three tries. So he just kind of rolled out and they had to kind of improvise a little bit. It wasn't too bad. They recovered pretty well. Mm-hmm. It was fine. Stuff happens in the ring, you know, is what it is.
If you can do that and not lose control of the match, doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
you know,
totally. Yeah.
Like, there are botches in like some of the best matches that I've ever seen in my life, and it doesn't affect my enjoyment of them. You know,
CM Punk versus John Cena at Money in the Bank 2011. It's kind of botchy. It's kind of botchy, that match. It's got quite a few botches in there. 5-star classic. But,
like that match. And the one I always point to is Kenny Omega against Tomohiro Ishii from the G1 in 2018, which I don't expect most like casual fans to have seen because it's just a match in the middle of the G1. But it's one of my favorite matches ever. And in like the first 2 minutes of that match, there's like a train wreck botch where they just completely cross each other up. One goes for like a leapfrog and the other just kind of like runs into him. And they're just kind of like, whoa, all right, reset and go. It's still one of my favorite matches ever. Because you can do that and not lose control. And that's the point, honestly.
Exactly, yeah. Just before we get on with the rest of the NXT review, I just want to point out, this is probably one of the highest amount of view accounts we've had for an NXT episode. So thanks, everyone, for coming out. I really want to see if we can get to 1,000 viewers, if we can, for this episode. So if you're watching, firstly, like the video, because that really helps recommend it out to other people. And share it to people. See if we can get up to 1,000 before the show ends. That would be really cool. That would be a nice little milestone for the NXT podcast. That would be really great. So please, please do give us a hand and show your support, because we like doing these NXT podcasts and we want to keep doing them. Mm-hmm. And the way to do that is to get people to watch it. So give us a hand. Frankie Monet was backstage next. And then she sowed some dissension between Robert Stone and Aaliyah and Jesse Kamea. Okay.
If this is leading to Frankie Monet having Aaliyah and Jesse Kamea as like her entourage, I hate that idea. Because that means we're going to have to watch them wrestle more.
Yeah.
And they're not particularly good at that.
Yeah. I get the idea of giving Frankie Monet an entourage. I think an entourage would fit her gimmick super duper well. and I totally get the idea behind it. I'm just not super into Aaliyah and Jessie Kemmerer being those people, unfortunately. Hey, yeah. Maybe under Frankie Monet's tutelage, they can become really, really good. But I've been holding out hope for Aaliyah for maybe 6 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe not.
I saw Aaliyah wrestle live in 2016, I want to say, at TakeOver Toronto. They were on, like, the pre-show matches taped for NXT that week. Wasn't good then.
Yeah.
And I watched their match from the TakeOver thing, the little bonus match that they put out. Like, I don't want to be, like, cruel and harsh to people, but I think some people just aren't really cut out for this. And after 6 years, I don't think Aaliyah's really cut out for all this.
Yeah. Yeah. Mercedes Martinez was watching her match from TakeOver backstage. She had a little video promo where she watched her match and basically says she's not done with them and says, I'm going to come back and you messed with the wrong person.
Cool.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Sounded all right. It's a good promo. Yeah. Not really super into the feud, but hey ho. It's a good promo.
Yeah. I mean, I like Mercedes Martinez's work enough to give it a shot.
Yeah.
If they have a really good match with her and Mei Ying, then I'm all for it. But from storyline perspective, I'm not really invested.
Yeah. We then got the $1 million championship coronation for LA Knight, who I was really mad that he looked really cool when he came out because I wanted Cameron Grimes to win. But then Ted DiBiase came out and then he introduced LA Knight and he drives up in a Corvette and he's got a cigar and he comes out. I'm like, you look cool and I don't like it. Yeah, he looks very good, in fairness. But then Knight cuts a very sincere promo. Him saying that Ted was a part of his childhood and this is one of the best moments of his career. Genuinely being in the ring with Ted DiBiase, who's saying someone now that he is worthy of continuing on his legacy. This is the best moment of his life right now. Best moment of his wrestling career. Gets officially gifted the $1 million championship by Ted DiBiase. And I was waiting for it. I was waiting for the turn. I was waiting for the swerve. And I was expecting him to verbally turn on Ted DiBiase. Instead, he just punches him. And Ted takes a good bump. Like Ted just drops a bump from the legend right there. And then he starts like kicking him while he's down. And Cameron Grimes comes out for the save, cradling Ted DiBiase in his arms and just saying, you cross the line now. I thought this was great because I was expecting the turn from LA Knight to be like, oh, you were always part of my childhood, you know, because he was saying like all of us, all of my friends, when we used to always have the action figures. Someone always used to have to be Ted DiBiase. And I was expecting him to turn and be like, and we always beat that guy up because Ted DiBiase was the worst or, you know, something along those lines. And it always used to be like, but in fact, you suck. And now I'm better than you and all that stuff. But now he just punches him. I was like, okay, cool. I'm into that too. Yeah, I thought this was really effective.
Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, we've kind of gone back and forth on LA Knight on this show where we don't really necessarily connect with his in-ring work as much as his promos. And I think him being the $1 million champion is going to allow him to do more promo segments, more vignettes, which will hopefully play to his strength. The only worry that I have here is that this, at least from like a possibility standpoint, seems like they could write Ted DiBiase out of this program here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to, but I hope that they don't, because to me, he's brought so much life to this feud. And I really want to see eventually Ted DiBiase and Cameron Grimes kind of have like a moment before Cameron Grimes eventually wins the $1 million championship. I think that's where the money is in all of this, but man, this is a good segment, man. I thought that if they just like went off or cut to something else after the pyro, the sparklers that went off, I would have been like, wow, that was a really lame segment. The hell was that? But then doing the full heel turn really kind of captured that back for me. So I was really happy about that. It's a really good segment, man. There were a lot of really good segments on this show.
Yeah, for sure. What was the one bit? Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're probably going to write out Ted from this story, but I'm hoping it's like he's just selling it for a couple weeks kind of thing. Like he's not on screen right now for a little bit, but he's going to come back. Maybe he might be wrote out entirely until Grimes and Knight have a rematch. DiBiase comes out during that match. Like, LA Knight's doing some dastardly heel thing, and Ted DiBiase evens the odds and comes out and punches Knight or something like that, and Grimes gets the win off the back of it or something like that. I could see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to keep him around forever. Like, he's not going to be on this show every week until the show goes off the air by any means. But I think there's still a lot more that he can do with this segment and with this rivalry and with these matches. I think he adds a lot more to it than they haven't hit their peak with Ted DiBiase content, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. There's so much you can get out of that laugh, man. Yeah. It's so good.
A good laugh on a wrestling show. How novel.
Crazy that. We've got Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez backstage saying they're going to deal with Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter, and then they're going to go for the tag team titles again. Okay, sure. And then we got that match of Raquel and Dakota versus Casey and Caden. I really like this match. Occasionally, maybe a touch sloppy, but God, like I was mentioning, just the energy that you felt in this episode really came through in this match in particular, I thought. Just really fast-paced. Everything felt like it flowed really well. Like, Casey and Caden get some really, like, unique tag team offense, and it seems like they kind of reinvented their tag team a little bit to be a proper, really good, fluid, high-flying tag team. And the pair of them, I thought, did really, really well in this match. But all came down to Raquel beat up both of them, and then Dakota Kai got the pin. Great! NXT Women's Champion being dominant, as she should be. And the tag team looked really good in defeat. So, yeah. Great match.
This, to me, was a perfect example of a lower mid-card team elevating themselves with a loss. They have never really been proper contenders for the NXT Women's Tag titles. They've just kind of been floating around. Like, yeah, they got a win in the Dusty Women's Classic, but they weren't going to win that tournament, and they really aren't going to win very many matches from there to here. This felt like a match that maybe they could win, because you don't really know the direction they're going with Raquel and Dakota. If they lose tag team matches, then maybe they can start breaking up. So at least there's a possibility of Casey and Caden getting a win here. So that added a little bit more to the match, where I didn't know what the finish was going to be. So I liked that. And it was just so much fun watching this. You know, it was a couple of smaller, high-flying baby faces going up against a big, still mobile heel. And that's exactly what you want out of a match like this. Like, this was a perfect TV match. No complaints, really. Really, really good stuff. I want to see more stuff like this on NXT.
I think you hit on the nail on the head when you just said, it's fun. It's a fun match to watch. That's what you need. It was great fun. Yeah. Ever Rise then cut a promo against Hit Row. I'm sure that will go well for them. Yeah. Io Shirai comes back into the ring. She cuts a very quick promo in English saying she's back and her next target is... But then she gets interrupted by Candice LeRae. She comes out and says, a lot's changed since you've begun. I'm now a champion. You're not unbeatable anymore. But she said, one thing has stayed the same. I still can't stand you. And she did some stupid stuff at TakeOver and NXT or whatever else. So then she goes to beat her up. And Indy and Candice start beating her up. Indy comes out from behind and attacks her from behind. They beat her up. Indy's going to go for the elbow drop off the ropes through the commentary table under Candice's guidance. But Zoe Stark comes out and makes the save before Indy can do the elbow drop. And the baby faces stand tall. This was all right.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, it was all right.
Like, yeah, it was fine. In execution, everything was fine, but I'm not super down with this direction, you know? Like, Io Shirai is finished with NXT. She had her run, and she's been there for a long time. It feels like an appropriate time for her to move up. And now she's just being held back into this promotion, you know? Like, it feels like her time to move on. And she's still here. And that wouldn't be as big an issue if there was something major for her to do if she was there to still have like a big rivalry or to face Frankie Monet or something along those lines, I think that would be one thing. But just a forced, thrown together team with Zoe Stark feels like they're trying to find something for her to do to stay in NXT. And I don't think it's enough to make me want to keep seeing her in NXT, especially when, like, you know, the WWE women's division is not going to do her any favors, I would think. But SmackDown needs women. You know, we talked about this a lot last week, how there's just no women on that show. Io Shirai would be a lot better than most of them and would really help out that roster. But hey, we've passed 1,000 viewers.
I was just about to mention it. Thank you so much, guys, for coming out. Really do appreciate you guys. Thank you. We hit 1,000 viewers for NXT. Yay. Let's go. Yay. We love NXT.
Yay. But yeah, I thought the segment itself was fine. Like, it was good. It was adequate. They'll probably build to a match. Maybe at Great American Bash. Who knows? But I just kind of want to see Io Shirai move on at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe they're doing this as like one last feud run for Io Shirai, and that she's going to pass the torch to Zoe Stark. I don't know. But yeah, I kind of agree with you that, yeah, this wasn't the best idea for Io personally, but hey, I'm sure it'll lead to some fun matches, and you can't complain too much about that when you get fun matches. We then got the botched backstage segment of Mr. Regal, your thoughts for this show. Well, Mackenzie, and then MSK are eating some popcorn, waiting for the main event. Loved it. Timothy Thatcher does a little bit of a thing where he eats some popcorn, steals the popcorn and eats it. Don't do comedy stuff, Thatcher. Just be serious. It's so much better when you're serious. Mm-hmm. Then we got our little backstage promo with Mackenzie finally getting a word with Mr. Regal. Interrupted by Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory that come in. Gargano just saying that it's so great that Joe's back. We love Joe. Joe's amazing. You're such a badass. You're so cool. Love that you're here. This is great. I don't even know what that was. You guys hear that?
I did, yeah. If I heard it, that meant the people heard it.
Not a clue. Not a clue what that was. Hey ho. I'm slightly concerned now. Anyway, and Gargano coming in saying that it's so cool that Joe's back, and but Joe stares down Gargano and tells him to get out because he's being annoying, and then Pete Dunne comes in and stares down Joe. Cool. Again, Joe just looks kind of cool.
Well, yeah, he's very cool. He's the coolest. I don't see the point of some of these interactions, like the Pete Dunne stuff, if Joe isn't going to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
The Gargano and Theory one, I thought was perfect. I would have liked to have seen that be like the first segment on the show, you know, because I think that really kind of illustrated like, hey, I'm not messing around. Get out of this office or there's going to be trouble. I really like that. And Pete Dunne just kind of being like, sup, I see you're back. I don't know. I don't think it really serves much of a purpose unless they have a match. And if you don't know if they're going to do a match, then maybe not. But still, it was a good segment.
Yeah, I think it's fine. You're going to need to have people interacting with Joe, even if Joe's not going to wrestle. Just in the role he's in, people will need to be interacting with him. And I think you can read what you want from the Pete Dunne stare down, whether it's just like an acceptance, like, got to get through you now, do I? Because you're back. This might make my NXT journey harder. Or it could be, I want to fight you. Or it could be, hey, respect, man. Could be whatever. We don't know. Yeah. But I guess that's the beauty of it. Who knows? We then got the main event match of Ciampa and Thatcher versus the Grizzled Young Veterans in a tornado tag team match. I really liked that they didn't screw up the tornado tag rules, because I was thinking they were just going to do straight up no DQ match. And that's not a tornado tag now, is it? But they did it right. No tags, no count outs, but there's still DQs in it. Yay.
Because I was thinking the same thing, but like 2 minutes into the match, one of Grizzled Young Vets gets a rope break on a submission hold. And they're like, oh, well, there's no rope breaks in a tornado tag match. I was like, is there not? Why is there not? It's not a no DQ match. You know, there should still be rope breaks involved, but
I guess. But then there's no count outs either, so they can wrestle on the outside, and that's fine. Because if they were doing a submission on the outside, that's totally legal, and they have nothing to break it, so there'd be no rope breaks either if they were doing them in the ring, I guess.
But if it was on the outside, a submission wouldn't count, because it's not like a false count anywhere match.
Because it's not because it's not false count anywhere. It should be in the ring, right?
I don't know. They only did it the one time. They only did it the one time at the start, and then they didn't do it again. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like that was just like a faux pas in the middle of the match, and then they corrected it. But I don't know. WWE rules are very flimsy as it is.
That's true. Regardless of that, though, what a match. So much fun. Speaking of fun matches, God, this was fun. I didn't take any notes for this match because I was just watching it and having fun and just literally just paying attention to the things that were happening. So many cool little spots. I love the air raid crash on the commentary desk, which didn't break. Ow. So many cool, like, little reversals and, like, Grizzled Young Vets just being a really good team. Just them, like, not even just having to use sneaky heel tactics to maintain advantage and them just, like, outsmarting Ciampa and Thatcher. I thought was really good, as they should. They're the better, more cohesive tag team. Really enjoyed that. The only bit I didn't really like was the winners. Would have preferred Grizzled Young Vets to win, personally. I just... Maybe we're working ourselves into a shoot, man. Maybe we just see the story that they've got laid out for Grizzled Young Vets, and they don't have that story at all. And that they've got other plans. Clearly they do, because Ciampa and Thatcher won. I just want Grizzled Young Vets to go on and face MSK, man. That's the match I want to see. And it seems like we're not going to be getting that, which is a shame. But regardless, this was a great match. Really enjoyed it.
It's starting to irritate me.
Right.
Grizzled Young Vets not getting wins, because this feels more like if... You know how when the Revival lost the tag titles in NXT and then they went out and lost to TM61 shortly thereafter? This is like just a random episode of NXT from like 5 years ago, so I wouldn't expect people to remember it off the top of their heads. But right after their big title reign, they went out and they were able to lose a match because they were kind of bulletproof. Mm-hmm. You know, like they could take a loss after a match like that. The Grizzled Young Vets haven't had the title reign to make them bulletproof. Mm-hmm. They just keep losing. Like they lost in last year's Dusty Classic. They lost this year's Dusty Classic. They didn't win the tag titles at Stand and Deliver. And now they've lost here again. Why can't we just have them win? Maybe they're trying to go with Ciampa and Thatcher as the challengers for MSK at Great American Bash before going to the TakeOver match. But even still, I don't think you need to keep beating Grizzled Young Vets like they've been doing, because they've beat them like a drum this year. They can't get any wins.
Yeah.
Great match, wild, though.
Which is wild, because Grizzled Young Vets are so good.
They're so good. I really don't understand. Like, there's not that much difference between them and the Revival.
Mm.
They're not, like, identical teams by any means, but they're both playing the role of the old school heel tag team. Both very well, and the Revival got a lot more than they have so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I regardless, great fun, great main event, really enjoyed it. And then we got the little promo at the very end of Joe saying, first night of many, Regal gets in a car. For some reason, I was just expecting the car to explode. It's wrestling, it's WWE. They held on that shot for a little bit too long. I was like, what's going to happen to Regal? Nothing. He drives away. Fine. There's also a couple little bits that we didn't mention. A couple little vignettes. The Diamond Mine is coming next week. Sure. And there was also a couple of little vignettes of like this battery charging. Okay.
I've seen a lot of people theorize that could be the return of Tegan Knox.
I've seen that as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe Ridge Holland as well.
Yeah, totally.
Either way, I'm down. It'll be nice to have like a new face on NXT, whether it be in the men's or women's division. Yeah, that's cool. I don't really care about the Diamond Mine. They haven't given me a reason to care about the Diamond Mine. So
not really, no. I'm hoping they're going to be really cool.
Yeah. I would very much like to enjoy the diamond mine. They just haven't given me a reason to do so beforehand.
Absolutely, yeah. But overall, though, really good episode from top to bottom, I thought. Lot of really fun stuff. Lots of just a lot of energy on this show. That's what it felt like to me. It's just like the show was kind of revamped, revitalized. Samoa Joe's back. Got these really fun matches. Everybody have a good time. And everyone did have a good time. It was a really good show. So we've got the Diamond Mine next week. We've got Frankie Monet having another match next week. O'Reilly versus Kushida next week. Cole versus someone next week who's not picked. And then we've got Cole versus O'Reilly at Great American Bash. All the stuff that was announced on this show. Overall, for me, I would have given it a 4 out of 5. I know you gave it a 5 in your edited review. I genuinely think that's just a different way of us looking at shows. Because to me, personally, like a 5 out of 5 show needs to have something that's like, this was spectacular. This was like, knock it out of the park. This was the greatest. They go, they're amazing stuff. And to be fair, maybe Samoa Joe's return cuts it as that. Maybe. But it's like, you know, I felt like the wrong person won the main event. And I feel like, you know, Imperium should have won in the tag match. It was just like these little things that just stop it from being like a perfect 5 out of 5 to me. But an amazing show nonetheless. 4 out of 5. Really happy. This felt like a proper good NXT episode of old. Really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. I mean, I thought... because I feel like we still look at rating these shows similarly, but to me, the opening segment with William Regal's promo and then Samoa Joe's return, that was enough to me to be like, that was a perfect segment on a show that will put it over the top to being a 5 out of 5. That doesn't mean that everyone has to look at it the same way, but I just really, really love that opening segment. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love emotional moments like that in wrestling. It's so good. I didn't take the bad finishes, or not bad, but just like, not what I would have booked finishes into account, because that's fine. I'll watch the rest of the story and then retroactively look back on things and be like, oh, well, that actually wasn't very good. That actually could have been done better. And the technical snafus, I'll give them a break. I'll give them a pass. It was pretty bad. Maybe as a technical production person, I shouldn't. But even still, I thought this was just a very enjoyable show with a great main event, a great opening segment, and fun matches throughout. Really liked the open challenge too. There were just a lot of things on here that I really liked. The LA Knight promo was really good too. 5 out of 5 to me.
Well, let's see what you guys thought. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here. Once again, thank you everyone for coming out to this episode. We appreciate it so much. And thank you for all the Ultra Chats you guys are sending in. We love them. Thank you. Just so you guys are aware, if you missed the announcement on the Raw podcast yesterday, as of the Raw podcast next Tuesday, we will only be reading out Ultra Chats of $5 or up, I believe. Just for time's sake, we don't want to have to rush to get through the content in order to get to the Ultra Chats. The review is the more important bit of the show because we want to actually review the show. That's the point. So yeah, go speak to Ollie and Luke on their podcast if you want to find out more, and go watch the Raw podcast yesterday for the actual announcement for that. But for now, we can read all of them. So Tyler Woodward says, Joe is awesome. Regal is awesome. Question, does Dunn have a new entrance theme? It sounded more metal than the original. Tempest the Mask is looking damn sexy. Love it when a heel has white gear. Also makes them look badass. LOW for life. Hashtag Louis Fears Tyler. Regal is awesome. Joe is awesome. Dunn's had a new entrance theme for a little while now. I don't know exactly when it was he got it, but he does have it for a little while. And yeah, it's a great Mask Tempest, isn't it?
Thanks, man. Really happy. Took a while, but I'm glad. I will shout out, actually. I don't know where. I've got a little sticker here somewhere. There it is. The people that made this mask, it's Arctic Shark Company. You can find them on Twitter, Arctic Shark Co. Good stuff. This mask is very comfortable. I can't recommend them enough. I laid out my specifications and kind of said, like, oh, this is the problems I was having with my previous mask. And they were like, oh, yeah, okay, no problem. We'll make sure that things are kind of tailored for these needs. Of course, the old mask, the eyes were a little bit too far apart, so I couldn't see very well. And, of course, the nose was... well documented how poorly it was. This is a very comfortable mask. Like I wore this for like a couple hours yesterday, just kind of like breaking it in, and it It is very comfortable. I could wear this all day and not feel a thing.
Amazing. Well done, Arctic Shark. A few more Ultra Chats here. The intangible one, Ryan B. Bad, says, I'm hoping with this new battery charging ad thing is for returning Tegan Nox or Roddy Strong. Yeah, I'd be happy with either of those. They'd be very good. Michael Dominguez says, I only see AEW and NXT. My life's better. If not Joe, what's next? For Cross, Walter, Dragunov, what about King of the Ring? Do you mean Kyle O'Reilly?
I think it was just K-O-R. But yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah.
This is KOTR. Hear me out. Four NXT versus four Raw on one leg. Four NXT versus four SmackDown on another. And final four is the match. What? You get Sheamus, Cross, Corbin, and Dunn for Survivor Series with King Cross?
There's a lot going on in this Ultra
That's
chat.
A lot. That's a lot of things, Michael Dominguez.
I think Cross
say,
is...
Yes.
Yeah, sure. I think Cross versus Kyle O'Reilly will be the direction for the next takeover. I think that will answer at least part of that question.
Yes. Bacon Rasher says, hi, lads. Just wanted to send some love to the LIW family. Really good NXT for me. Good matches, character work, and building stories. Also, roses are red, violets are blue. Ollie's not here. He's having a poo out of his big implanted booty. LIW, for life. Thank you.
Can I say very quickly, Carol Wands is in the chat here saying that the mask makes it look like I have a sunburn. No, I just have a sunburn. I didn't bring it up on this. I don't know if I told the story on the SmackDown podcast or if I was just talking to Pete before or after. Yeah, I'm dealing with a pretty bad sunburn at the moment. So it's not just
Man's
you,
got
Carol.
Burned.
Don't worry. Yeah. Yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah. Slay JKT says, never knew Tempest had the anime eyes. Excited with Enforcer Joe. The last question he gave to Cross was full of chills. Question, rather than a WWE to AEW jump ship, who would realistically make the jump from AEW to WWE, including NXT? Love from Indonesia. I don't know. That's a very tough question. Because you'd expect it would be someone that would be maybe someone that perceives they've been poorly treated or someone that believes they deserve more screen time or something like that. And AEW is quite good at distributing up their screen time between a lot of people, even if it's on like Dark and stuff like that. So it's a very hard thing to say. Maybe someone like, I don't know, maybe, you know, 2 years down the line, you can see someone like Griff Garrison go over because maybe he feels like he's better than what he's been given because he's not been given anything. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. As far as people that are active right now, it's tough. Like, I don't think he would go, but I could see someone like Lance Archer going over again because he's big and talented. You know, I think he fits the WWE mold, even though he was already there and they didn't do anything with him. There has been time passed since then. So maybe someone like him. That being said, I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's probably pretty satisfied with his spot in AEW. Otherwise, yeah, there's not a whole lot of people. Like, I think AEW kind of uses the people in that company very well and is doing a good job of building for the future, too. Like, it's not like people in AEW will look at being, like, if you're Top Flight or the Acclaimed and you're not getting a bunch of wins, I don't think they're being like, oh, well, they just don't see the brilliance of me. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be wait 2 or 3 years and they're going to be, like, the big stars of the company. You just have to wait that out and improve a little bit. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think there's too many people upset with their position in AEW, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
And maybe that will change in a couple of years. Who knows?
Yep.
We never know what's going to happen. Bacon Rasher says, hi again, lads. On the Diamond Mine, I'm confused. Is it a part of the show like Raw Underground or a faction? I hope it's a faction after I just remembered Raw Underground. Loving the new mask, Tempest and Pete. Get a new cap, man. No.
Well, it's a good cap.
It's all right, isn't it? It's got a little night tick that no one ever sees because the light never makes it show up, but it's fine. Diamond Mine, I'm assuming it's a faction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe, who knows? Do you want to take some of the rest of these, Tempest?
Yeah, for sure. Genetic Ghost says, I love that Omega versus Ishii in the G1 2018. Hey, there's another nice cultured wrestling fan. Let's go. If I'm remembering correctly, it also ended with Kenny's mouth being horrifically split open. Had to drink Monster Energies out of a straw for weeks on BTE after. Kenny and Ishii always put on great matches. You are thinking of the correct match. It was pretty brutal. Sadie6969 Deegan says, hey, oh, love the mask, Tempest. Thank you. The colors are gorgeous, and you're even cuter now. Aw. Yeah, it's crazy what happens when you can actually see some on my face. Also, good show last night. Oh, my God. Big Daddy Samojo is the greatest ever. Ah, sure is, yes. Isn't he? Big Daddy
Big agree.
Samoa Joe.
Big agree.
DJ Chili Phil says, LIW 44 Quattro Vier Life. I know, yes. I know all those words.
Yeah.
And Zachary T. Robinson says, Tempest gone from having a red nose forced upon him by the old mask to willingly having a pink nose for the new mask. Love it. Or is it just the same mask, but with Tempest's colors on the screen are now inverted? No, that's not the case. I can't confirm. But yeah, I did, like, I put on the mask for the first time and I was like, wow. It does make it look like all of a sudden now I have like a big nose.
Mm-hmm.
Just from yeah. having absolutely no nose to having this stick out. It looks like a big nose.
You are now Wario. Yes, exactly.
Wah.
Wah.
Los Insufferables. Don't know how I feel about that. Comes in to say, actually, you know what? We haven't gotten that one yet. So props for creativity, well done. At least.
Yeah.
Says, on this day, Tempest sees clearly that having a pink nose on his mask might not be the smartest idea in the world. Wow, I beat you to it, Insufferables. Yeah. Thanks for the money. Anderson Floyd says, I'm glad that Chopper is back in the studio making hits with Dr. Dre again. The rap game needs you, Slim. LIW for life. Sadie6969 Deegan says, back again. I won't be able to be there for your Hell in a Cell because of work, but good luck, my beautiful boys. Ride the momentum of Tempest's new mask. Can't wait for the NXT live stream next week when y'all have all the WrestleTalk gold. Love you both. Hell yeah.
Thank you. And yes, after Hell in a Cell, we will be running WrestleTalk with all the gold.
I got mine. Yeah. There's one down, one to go. And Misha Sumra. Yeah, it's all right. I got it. Misha Sumra says, only just realized that Tempest's new mask matches the one on his YouTube channel graphic. Great episode. Looking forward to Joe annihilating everyone. Maybe he gets ahead of himself and has a match with Regal. Ooh.
I mean, I don't know how much Regal can still go.
I don't know.
Maybe he doesn't need to. Maybe he doesn't need to. Maybe Joe just kills him.
You never know. You never know what they're going to do with NXT. I was thinking when this backstage bedlam started getting out of hand that maybe we would get a William Regal in-ring return. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he would face someone like Karrion Kross, but maybe someone like Adam Cole. That would be a really fun match. I love William Regal.
I could totally see Adam Cole doing an amazing sell for the Brass Knucks.
Absolutely.
Regal brings him out, bang, absolutely. Adam Cole just dies. He could sell that to the moon and back.
I feel like we got that last run of William Regal in FCW and NXT from like 2011 to 2013 just before the wrestling audience would really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we got that same kind of match right now, I think people would lose their minds over William Regal.
Yeah, almost certainly, yeah. You still got it.
Yep.
Et cetera. Guys, you get to hear the clap now. YouTube members, you get to hear the clap, which is what I use for the editing for the podcast bits. Wild. This whole thing is so new and weird and strange. It's great. Anyway, some emails. So there's this one from Eli. I'll keep this email because it's got dog pictures in it. It also does have some questions, so I'll keep the dog pictures for another stream when I, like, download them and stuff. But here we go. Eli says, hola, Lost Intangible, slow fist bump. I wanted to join in on the dog discourse and figured I'd also ask a couple of questions. Firstly, Pete, I've been really getting into D&D lately because my group is moving into higher level campaigns. I gifted a D&D cookbook to a friend, and I want to host a themed night with dinner from the book, perhaps after an in-game rest, and I want to do a one-shot. What are your some of favorites or ones you suggest? That D&D cookbook, by the way, I'm assuming it's the Heroes Feast cookbook, is awesome. Really cool. Love that. Some of my favorite one shots. Here's a confession. I don't really play published material. I only play homebrew stuff. We just make our own adventures and do them. I don't really play published stuff ever. So I don't really have any suggestions at all because I just make stuff up. Sorry, I can't be of more help. Tempest, here's stuff for you now. As the resident New Japan guy, Do you think, combined with Meltzer's star rating system, the long main event matches, 30 minutes plus, multiple finishes, have spoiled some of the modern product? Granted, I know a lot of WWE matches in the last decade or so have that model, but it feels like NXT, for example, needs these lengthy matches just for the sake of having them when they're not necessary or expose a talent. I'm thinking specifically of Karrion Kross versus Balor. It was okay, but super long, and I believe the main event style match is bogging down the product. And then lastly, dog pictures, which I'll show later.
That's like a big overarching wrestling philosophy type question. Like, I'm not going to say that New Japan having spectacular matches is a bad thing at all, because everyone else should just have better matches. Just be better, be on New Japan's level. But I think that the desire to have everyone wrestle that main event style is a WWE problem where... Mm. You know, we've seen forever where we got to have like a 20-minute main event that'll go back and forth and have the babyface sell and then make the comeback. And blah, like the whole WWE formula has been tried and true forever. And occasionally there are matches where it doesn't fit the situation. And I think that they should do a better job of recognizing that and then tailoring the matches to the strengths of their performers. But I don't think that that's necessarily the fault of New Japan or Dave Meltzer or whatever. I think it's more of just another WWE issue.
Yeah, fair enough. I've got another email here from Florian. By the way, if you guys want to email in, support@wrestletalk.com is the place to do it. We might read your emails out on the show. Florian here says, a good appropriate time of day to the LIW boys. I've been behind on the podcast episodes for quite a while, but now I'm finally caught up again. Since the pandemic started last year, I've been very out of the wrestling bubble. Probably wouldn't even know anything if it wasn't for you guys. Not having fans at the shows was definitely the right call, but it harmed my enjoyment of these shows big time. I know you all had to watch. I mean, it's still your job. But if it hadn't been, would you have stayed in the pandemic era or would you have left as well? I would have left.
Yeah. I would have kept watching AEW because I did, but I didn't watch anything else. The only things I watched were for work purposes. It just hasn't been very fun most of the time watching these shows without fans, especially those early days where it was just an empty warehouse. That's about as bottom of the barrel as you're going to get for WWE programming, and it's not really their fault, but pandemic sucks, man. I'm ready for fans to be back.
God, I genuinely, it's weird that, you know, I can obviously remember some of like the big pops and, you know, some of the big moments with the crowd and stuff like that. I'm genuinely struggling to remember what a bog standard normal episode of TV looks like with a crowd. Like I'm like, my brain is so in tune to a Thunderdome now, or like the limited fans in Denny's Place or whatever, that I'm literally just like, I'm craving that like full big audience crowd. I think we might be getting it at like SummerSlam probably. I know they're coming back before then, but I think the first like big sellout is probably going to be like the SummerSlam thing. So I genuinely can't wait, because I just want to get back to where normal regular weekly television has a crowd again, because I need that sound. It's my serotonin for wrestling, and I need it.
So like otherworldly at this point. Like I've just seen clips from, you know, different companies airing them of like the last shows that they all did from before the pandemic, like whether it was AEW when Jake Roberts showed up and, you know, they powerbomb Moxley off the stage, or like when John Cena and The Fiend had their clash right before, right before WrestleMania. Man, it feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah.
And it looks so alien now to just be like, yep, there's a building full of people watching wrestling. Like, I'm just so not used to it at this point.
No, I'm very much looking forward to getting used to it again, though. I can't wait until that's normal. But yes, I probably would have left the wrestling bubble. Not necessarily. I probably would have kept up with like pay-per-views, big things that were happening. Maybe watch some pay-per-views, maybe not all of them, but maybe some of them that caught my interest, or if I had time or whatever, absolutely would not have kept up with any weekly television at all. Honestly, I wouldn't have kept up with it before the pandemic era, I'll be honest. It's just bad, isn't it? It's just bad.
I haven't watched Raw like weekly in probably about 4 years.
Yeah, same.
You know, like, and that was only because I was doing it to review it for a university radio show. I didn't have to watch Raw for any reason whatsoever, I don't think I've watched it week to week since like WrestleMania 30, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like that was the last time I remember watching Raw every week, and it was because of the Daniel Bryan stuff.
100%. Yeah, I think almost exactly the same time. I think after Bryan vacated his titles, I was like, and then that was it until about Mania 31. I completely fell off it until about Mania 31. That like year, I just missed. And then, watched Mania 31 and then kind of was in a little bit here and there. Was definitely around for 2013, 2014. And then maybe like 2015, I started to drift again. It was like, okay, I ain't coming back this time. And that was the last time. It was like properly like in it week to week all the time. Maybe 2016. But yeah, it was...
I took that year off because The Undertaker lost. And I was just like, I was like really invested. And I was like, I've had enough of this wrestling. Undertaker losing at WrestleMania to Brock Lesnar? Unacceptable. And that was for about a year before watching WrestleMania 31 and like loving it because that was a really good WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And I watched Raw the next night. And I don't think I watched anything again until maybe SummerSlam of that year. I watched like bits. Like I would watch Cena's matches for the US title, but I would not watch just whole episodes of Raw because who has the time for such things? And it's just kind of been like less and less and less and less as it's just gotten worse and worse and worse as the years have gone by.
Yeah. I had a look today because I was writing the news episode today. And I was writing a little bit about the Raw ratings from this week. And just on the website where I got the Raw ratings from, they had a little thing of just like the previous like 3 years of like the average viewership for those 3 years. And it was like average, this week's show did like 1.7 something million viewers. And it was like average for 2020, 1.8 million. Average for 2019, like 2.3 million. Average for 2018, 3 million. And I was like, that's a sharp decline right there.
It just keeps getting worse. I can't believe it. I remember when they were all talking about like, oh, Raw does 4 million viewers and that's bad.
Yeah, tragedy,
Holy
right?
Christ. Like they would kill someone for 4 million viewers these days.
I know, right? Crazy. I've got one more email here from Juan. It talks about BoJack Horseman. More about that. Juan says, "Hola. I love BoJack Horseman too. I really like how they touch sensitive topics in the show. What's your favorite episode or scene?" Spoilers for Tempest ahead. I don't know about that.
Go for it.
My heart broke when BoJack tells Diane at the end of the show, "Hey, wouldn't it be funny if this night was the last time we ever talked to each other?" That show is a masterpiece. Love you guys. Jam that jam. It is a masterpiece. Depressing as hell. Do not watch that if you're in a sensitive mental state, because God, it just grinds you down. But if you can handle that, if you're in the place to watch it, God, it's amazing. My favorite episode is 100% the, I believe it's called Free Churros. It's the one where he does the monologue for the entire episode. It's amazing. I love it. I'm a sucker for a monologue just as it is, like just in general, like especially villain monologues. Oof. Ooh, good villain monologues. That hits me right here. I love those. Just monologues as a whole and just having an entire 22-minute episode be one person talking. It's all good, and it hits like so many different emotional levels, and then just the very last line is just a punchline that's just been building for the entire episode, and it's just wonderful. It's just a wonderful episode. I love it. It's a good show. Watch it, everyone. Not everyone, most people. it's a show for adults. If you're a child watching this, listening to this / watching this, don't watch it. But if you're in the right mental state to do it, definitely do it. It's awesome. Sending more emails about BoJack Horseman. I like BoJack Horseman. We can talk about it. I don't have any more emails because that is going to do it for this episode. I will find out a way to share the pet pictures in time for next time. So you can keep sending those in. Don't worry. Support@wrestletalk.com and I'll get them sorted in time for the next episode. But that's going to do it because we need to go live shortly. We don't record this before. What are you talking about? Thank you, everyone. thank you, everyone, for listening. We got some more content coming up. We've got Hell in a Cell. We've got a prediction tomorrow for Hell in a Cell. And we've got live reactions on Sunday where one of us will become Jam That Champion. I'm sure that's going to be very fun. And then we've got the Hell in a Cell review coming up on Monday. All sorts of content. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. We love you very much. Take care. Stay safe. We love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.